Good evening. It's a pleasure to be able to share with you tonight. Pastor Brian asked if I would cover some of the Lenten services, and I was more than happy to, and turns out you're here tonight. So we're glad that we can be here with you to share with you. We're going to talk tonight about the first phrase that was uttered from the cross. That's what this series is going to be on for the next few weeks, is the words of Jesus from the cross. And tonight, we're turning our attention to Luke chapter 23, verses 13 and on. We'll read those in just a moment, so you can be turning there. It's just a little bit about Ash Wednesday. I did a little bit of research, and I'm no rocket scientist on this stuff. It's real easy to find by typing in Ash Wednesday on Google, so you can research it yourself as well. But it's the Wednesday in the seventh week before Easter, which is pretty obvious. It's the first day of Lent in the Western Christian calendar. According to the canonical Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus spent 40 days in the desert. He endured temptation by Satan, and Ash Wednesday coincides or is symbolic of the 40-day period of fasting and prayer that Jesus spent in the desert. And I read a couple of different things that were listed. During the early church, one of the church fathers, Tertullian, ashes and sackcloth were used as severe penance due to grave sins. Ashes were mixed with sackcloth, represented the gruesome image of penance and humiliation. And so it was a way of coming in repentance. Before I'm done tonight, my hope and my prayer is that the one word that you will take out of this place is the word forgive. That's the word I want you to remember when you leave here tonight, is the word forgive. A person by the name of Carl Spitzweg said ashes were used in ancient time to express mourning. And I like this because it's a little more scriptural. Dusting oneself with ashes was the penitent's way of expressing sorrow for sins and faults. An ancient example of one's expressing penance is found in Job 42, verse 3 and forward. It says, "I have heard of thee by my ear, but now mine eyes seeth. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." The prophet Jeremiah calls for repentance and says, "O daughter of my people, gird on sackcloth, roll in the ashes." And then it goes on and talks about Daniel and other different scriptures that talk about repenting in sackcloth and ashes. Well, I don't see anybody dressed in sackcloth tonight, and I don't see any ashes, but it is Ash Wednesday. And as such, we are going to talk about forgiveness. And so if you would stand with me as I read the scripture, Luke chapter 23, and I'm going to begin reading at verse number 13. So Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 13. Pilate called together his chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and he said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us, as you can see. He also has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." And with one voice, they cried out, "Away with this man. Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for the insurrection in the city and for murder. And wanting to release Jesus, Pilate approached them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." And then dropping down a few verses to verse number 32, and during the crucifixion we read, there were two other men, both criminals, who were led out with Jesus to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothing by casting lots. Let's pray. Father, we pray tonight that that word forgiveness would ring in our ears as we listen to this message. And Lord, that in our hearts, if there's anything we need forgiveness of tonight, Lord, may this be a time of reckoning with God and coming before you in repentance and asking for your forgiveness and your grace, as that song says, to be poured out in our hearts, we pray tonight. And we do, as we thought about this message, we do cry out for pardon tonight for our sin and those things that would separate us from God. Bless now your people as we receive your word. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One woman said, "How can I forgive him if I don't trust him?" She was speaking of her husband who had an affair with a woman that he met on a cruise. But it wasn't the first time, it was the third. And, he thought, well, at least I was honest about it. And his wife was a Christian, so he expected forgiveness. Boy, that's a tough bill, isn't it? I remember a church I pastored. It's the stuff legends are made of. I had heard about it long before I ever went to pastor this church. They had not nearly as many pews as this, but they basically had just two sections of pews. And I'm told, I wasn't there for it, but I'm told there were two men in the church that I actually pastored at a later time that had gotten into a disagreement. And the problem is they never made it right. They never found forgiveness between them. And every Sunday, one would come and sit in the front pew here, and one would come and sit in the back pew there. They stayed as far away from each other as they could get. They never found forgiveness. Tonight, I believe that forgiveness has to be one of the most important things in the Christian's vocabulary. And yet it can be one of the most difficult things. You know, one of the things that is hard in a marriage is sometimes we get in disagreements, and boy, I've got my opinion and my wife's got her opinion, and we can't see to find that ground where we agree. But somebody's going to have to, somewhere along the line, come to the point where that disagreement is made right and forgiveness is granted and received. If not, it's going to be a festering sore that's just going to continue boiling over and causing trouble in that marriage. The Bible says not to go to bed angry with one another. And I think that's a great guideline as married couples, is not to go to sleep angry with one another. Find forgiveness before the day is up. What about someone who breaks a promise? How do you forgive that person? What about someone that has done something to you, but they won't even bother to come to you and ask for forgiveness? What about when you're the one that's been wronged? Do you still forgive? What about if someone's out to destroy you or to destroy your reputation? Should you forgive that person? Forgiveness is a marvelous idea until you're the one that needs to do the forgiving. Forgive someone who breaks promises? I don't know. Forgive someone who doesn't ask for it? Is that what I'm saying tonight? I believe tonight that we need to be people, as children of God, of forgiveness. Jesus on the cross, as he was crucified, as he was dying, hanging between two thieves, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We can forgive. I want to show you three examples tonight of Jesus' life. First of all, he walked and prayed forgiveness out in his ministry. "For Father, forgive them" was a graphic illustration of his teaching. In Mark chapter 2, we read in verse 3, "And they came to Jesus, and they brought one sick of the palsy, which was borne by four of them. And when they could not get near him because of the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let him down on the bed where he was sick of the palsy was laying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he looked at the sick man of palsy and he said to him, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And if the roof hadn't already been torn off, it probably would have been blown off by everybody's complaining. Who is this man that he thinks he can forgive sins? And Jesus said, "Well, wish it's easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise up and walk." And then he healed the man and the man walked. On the cross, Jesus didn't exercise his divine right. He could have come down from that cross. He didn't have to hang there. He didn't have to suffer and die for our sins. He could have called the angels of heaven and been released from what he was going through. But he didn't, because he wanted you to find forgiveness today through his blood. He wanted me to find forgiveness through his blood. I think of that song. In fact, I looked it up before I came here tonight. It says he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Jesus hung on that cross for us on that crucifixion day. He asked the Father to do what he had done. He was God, but he laid aside his divine prerogative so that he could identify with me on that cross. He bore the burden of those who had committed history's greatest crime, and he looked down and he said, "Father, forgive them." I've often thought about that. If God really would forgive them because Jesus asked him to, well, yes, he would. And yes, he did, I believe. Jesus called out to the Father. And it's interesting, if you look at the scripture, it's interesting in the seven last sayings of Christ from the cross. The first one, he uses the word Father. Father, forgive them. And in the last one, he uses the word Father. Father, into thine hands I commit my spirit. But in between there, he calls out to God and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? The intimacy had somehow disappeared for that moment because he was bearing the sins of the world on that cross of Calvary. Jesus prays, "Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I struggled once with forgiving somebody. It was hard. They had done something very, very wrong, and I struggled with that. And in a particular service during that time of struggle that I went to, they had all of the members of the church come forward and stand around the front of the altar, and there was a large cross over here that was on the wall, I believe. And as I was standing there and praying, I opened my eyes and I looked at that cross. And the words came into my mind that Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." And it's like God spoke right to my heart. I didn't hear an audible voice. It would have been great, but I didn't. But it's like God spoke right to my heart. Who are you not to forgive if I was willing to forgive? And I guess I'd ask you that same question tonight. If God was willing to forgive you, who in the world are you not to forgive someone else? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, the second example is just what I've been talking about, the prayer of forgiveness. Father, forgive them. There's jeering taunts. People are looking up at him and they're saying, "Come down from the cross. You think you're the Son of God? Come down, save yourself." There was a loss of blood, the crown of thorns on his head, blood flowing, the nails in his hands and his feet, blood flowing. And finally, the spear was pierced into his side and more loss of blood. And yet Jesus was perfectly sinless. He needed no forgiveness himself. But can you imagine the sinless one, the spotless one, bearing the sins of the world on the cross of Calvary? That's what Jesus did for you, and he did it for me. Isaiah 53:12 says, "Therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors." He was bearing the sins, it says, of many of you and I tonight. In John 17, Jesus included us in his prayer. Jesus said, "My prayer is not for them alone, but I pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they be one. May they be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me." About this time, as I was getting ready for preaching tonight, a song popped into my mind. And any of you that have heard me preach know I like to use song lyrics when I'm preaching. And so I share with you the song that came into my mind, and I couldn't get it out. I was singing it all day long. The words are, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus." Because Jesus would hang upon that cross, you and I have forgiveness tonight. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. The third example is Jesus prays a prayer for ignorance. When he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." What were they ignorant of? Were they ignorant of what they were doing? Of course not. They knew exactly what they were doing. But I think they were ignorant of the enormity of their crime. For whatever reason, they did not know that they were crucifying the Lord of glory. I find that hard to believe, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we read, "None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they would have, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." They were not ignorant of the crime that they were committing, but they were ignorant of the extent of the crime, that Jesus, the Son of God, is the one that they were placing on that cross. The sin that is committed with a clenched fist is the sin that God doesn't listen to, because we need to come clean. We need to repent in sincerity and purity of heart. I know many times when we have communion, pastor says, if you're living in flagrant open sin, don't partake of communion. Why? Because your heart is not sincere before God. Come clean before the Lord. Everybody, whoever wants to have forgiveness tonight, whoever wants to be forgiven of whatever there is in your life, God will forgive you. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. He will forgive you, no matter what it is tonight. Numbers 15:30 says, "Anyone who sins defiantly, whether native-born or foreigner, blasphemies the Lord and must be cut off from his people." And to varying degrees, these people who were crucifying Jesus were ignorant of this sin. At the very least, they were crucifying an innocent man. They didn't realize he was the Lord of glory, according to what Paul tells us. But for others, it would be a willful crucifixion or rejection of his messiahship, his very Son of God. But then there's the sin of ignorance. Leviticus says, "When anyone is unfaithful to the Lord by sinning unintentionally in regard to any of the Lord's holy things, they are to bring to the Lord as a penalty a ram from the flock." So there you have it. That's Old Testament, church. That's not what we do, because Jesus hung on the cross. He was the Lamb slain for the sins of the world, that we, you and I, might have forgiveness. Forgiveness. The sins of ignorance needed a sacrifice. They still bring guilt, even though we don't know it. I know in the mornings when I have my time of devotion and I'm praying to the Lord, at the very beginning of my prayer, I always ask the Lord, Lord, whatever I've done, forgive me. And if he reminds me of anything that I've done offense to somebody or something I shouldn't have done, I confess it to him and repent of it. Lord, forgive me. How many know today that Jesus will forgive you? Whatever it is, Jesus will forgive you. He waits to forgive and to love on his people tonight. Father, Father, forgive them. Try barreling through a stop sign sometime, and the patrolman pulls you over, and you say, Officer, I didn't see it, as he pulls out his citation book and writes you a ticket for going through a stop sign. Just because you didn't see it, does that make you innocent of it? No, you still have to pay the penalty, because you may have done it ignorantly, but you still did it. And some of our sins that we commit, we may not do them on purpose, flagrantly, violently against God, but we still need to come to him for forgiveness. And how many know tonight that Jesus is there waiting to forgive, waiting to receive us into his love tonight? That's what this communion is all about. It's all about finding the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. They did not know that the resurrection would follow the crucifixion. They did not know that a church that would change the world would grow out of Pentecost. They did not know that a New Testament would be written that would tell God's plan for the ages. Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. And I ask you tonight, should we do any less? Should we do any less? Heavenly Father, tonight we come before you. And our first prayer tonight is that you would forgive us. Even as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, that you would forgive us of our transgressions. And Lord, as you hung on that cross, you prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Help us to be willing to follow your example and to be able to say of others and to others, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this night that we can share together in the communion and the elements of the Lord's table. And we ask your blessing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.